Please welcome Beth Marshall.
3 o'clock this afternoon. It's like slowly I was tonight. So at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm like cooking a can of soup and trying to write down what on earth I'm going to talk about. So I've got my notes. We'll see how this all goes. So question number one, of course, is why am I so overdressed for this occasion? This has to do with, I was singing last night at Black Sheep. And these are the clothes I was wearing when I was singing last night. I just put them all on the chair. And according to the 3-hour rule, what? They're still sitting on the chair from last night. Okay, I'll wear them again today. So that's my only excuse for why I'm so overdressed tonight. I also have to mention a lot of my family is here. It's very hard to do any kind of comedy or tell stories when your family is here because they look at you like my mom. My mom is sitting, where'd my mom go? There she is, my mom's right over here. She's 112 years old. And the first thing she'll say to me is, no, I'm not 100. I'm like, it's comedy, see? 112 is funny. I say, and then she'll come up to me and like, no, I didn't put Pepto-Bismol in the turkey stuffing that year. And I'm like, Mom, you don't understand. Pepto-Bismol is funny. It's liquid chalk that's pink colored and you drink it out of a bottle to feel better. What could be funnier than that? So, of course, I'm making jokes. Anything Pepto-Bismol fits into is a great joke. So that's my number two thing, is I have to be careful about what I say because they'll ask me what on earth I'm talking about. And number three is I have to make a homage, I don't know what the word is, to our, an homage, whatever it is, I don't know. It's something I need more than 3 hours to think about. To our fearless leader, Kirk, over here, I was away with, talking with... I know. I thought homage was something you had for breakfast. I don't know. And so I was out with some of my theater friends over the weekend, and I know the first thing you're thinking is, you have friends? Well, and so anyway, his name comes up in conversation. I just hear Kirk Henning, and I'm like, you know Kirk Henning? It happened to be Sarah Smith, by the way, over there, if you happen to be listening. And I had no idea he was so involved in theater, that all these theater people I knew him. So I'm like, thank you very much, and I won't feel so bad about plugging every theater performance I'm in, which doesn't come up till December, so I'll wait till next time. So moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, topics. Here we are, topics. I read today's topic at 3 o'clock this afternoon, Out with the Old. And the first thing I can think of is, whenever I think of these little phrases, these colloquialisms, I think of Kirk. And I can't imagine really having a conversation with him other than talking in epithets, talking in little colloquialisms, and it's like, long time no see. Hot enough for you today? Well, it's a dry heat. If I had a nickel for every time somebody said that, well, I was just putting in my 2 cents. Well, a penny saved is a penny earned. That's my idea of a conversation with Kirk, is it's just one after the other. So I'm thinking, where does he come up with these ideas? Does he have the big book? No. Does he have the book, you know, it's 27-pound complete English, you know, collection of colloquialisms, third edition, you know, the book that you have to... And then... Out with the Old. That's a good one. I mean, is he doing that? I have no idea. You know, maybe it's another book. Maybe it's 10,001 phrases that'll make your friends sick of you. I have no idea. But, so I'm looking at this and I'm out with the old. Have you looked at our audience? Have you looked at me? Out with the old? Really? What were you thinking? Have you ever been to a show, any show? Have you ever seen Oklahoma with a leading lady my age? Really? You can't do anything once you've passed the halfway point. I've already told all my friends, do not cast me as the lunch lady in the kitchen at the cafeteria ever anymore. No, I am not the lunch lady at the cafeteria again. That's the part you get. Unless, you know, it was the 1980s. I guess we finally came along with things like Steel Magnolias, which are ensemble. We don't have any leads. We have an ensemble now. So that's the best I can do, is I can be part of the ensemble. But leading ladies, oh, I can just see me in Guys and Dolls. I'm going to be Sarah Brown in Guys and Dolls. You know, this is what we should do. We should do the geriatric version of every 1950s show that's ever been done. Guys and Dolls. Sky Masterson tries to pick me up at the party at Cuba. He picks me up and he falls over. He slips a disc in his back and I break my hip. The next day, after we get back from Cuba, Arvide, the uncle, comes in and asks us what we were doing, and we're sitting there in wheelchairs with casts. And we look at him like, what do you think we've been doing? We've been having sex all night. What do you think? Every show, we could do the geriatric version. It would be wonderful. Hamilton. We're starting on Hamilton right now, because in 10 years, when we get it finished, it'll be just the right timing. You know, Lin will be in his 40s, and he'll be thinking about old age for once in his life. So, topics. You know, out with the old. All I got to say is, no, not out with the old, not out with anything. I collect everything from my young years, from any years. I do not get out with the old on anything at all. How did this all start? It started with my dad. My dad decided, unbeknownst to me at the age of 3, and when I was 3, I was 3. I really didn't know much of anything. I thought everything was going to last forever. And that lasted up until I was like about 42. And so anything that was lying around the house, my dad decided there was some other child in some other part of the universe that needed it more than I did, and it went off and got donated to Goodwill or whoever. Things just vanished. And the worst one was that when I was in kindergarten, I was 4 years old, I was in kindergarten, I went to this really progressive school, and we had a shop class in kindergarten. We really did. And it was Quaker school. And Quaker schools are so different. It's like when you went to real school after Quaker school, you're like, what is this? It was like being in a prison compared to being in a Quaker school. Because a Quaker school is like everybody was one big family. All the teachers, everything. Everybody's on a first name basis. And you get, oh, isn't everything like this? No, it isn't. So anyway, we had a shop class, and I built this steam shovel in shop class. It was just this piece of, it probably looked a lot better in my mind now than it did in real life. But I built this steam shovel, and one day I discover it's gone. It's no, I built this steam shovel, don't you understand? It was like my heart and soul went into, you know, using thumbtacks and little blocks of wood and cutting them and not sawing my fingers off at the same time. It was so wonderful. And my father just thought, hey, here's another piece of junk, get rid of it. And everything of mine from early childhood vanished. So I was on a mission. Nothing's gonna vanish for the rest of my life. Now, I'm not a hoarder. You can find the floors in my house. The walls, not so much. But you can actually walk in the house, but I have saved all these wonderful things. My paper mache bowl that I made when I was 4 years old in kindergarten. I still have my paper mache bowl. Here's something that's wonderful, a booklet that we made in kindergarten. It was birds. I don't really understand, but we made this booklet, and we made it with construction paper. Remember that stuff they called construction paper? It's like the world's heaviest paper. It's in colors. They call it construction paper because it's thick enough that you could build a house out of this stuff. And I made this little booklet, and it was typical. It was like construction paper and me drawing with a crayon and one of those brass paper fasteners. Remember those things? You pushed it through and you bent it on the back. Nobody's ever seen a paper fastener in the last 50 years, but we were using them back then. And so I had the four, I still have this. I have the four basic birds that were in our yard. There were blue jays, there were blackbirds or crows, there were robin redbreast, and there were squirrels. Those were the four, those were the four birds. And I was just thinking about that. I guess when I was 4 years old, the idea that anybody lived together had to be from kind of like the same family. So the birds and the squirrels were all kind of out in the trees, so the squirrels must have been another one of the birds. They were, you know, they made a lot of noise, blah, blah, blah. So moving along to me saving stuff, I saved tins. Remember when, like, spices came in little metal tins? So I saved tons of little metal tins. And I clothing, you know, I still have, and you guys have got to be able to relate, I still have clothing from 20, 30, 40 years ago that I know I will never fit in again, but it's the, I just had this idea that someday I'm going to fit in this clothes. I refuse to get rid of them. And every woman I know has this pile of clothes that they refuse to get rid of. It's like, someday we know, you know, we have this fantasy. that we're going to be thin enough to fit back into these clothes, so they're not going anywhere. And so it's kind of gone along that way. And I wasn't a rich kid, so I saved stuff that nobody else wanted, but like typewriters. And it's like, anything that's big and heavy that nobody wants, give it to Beth. It's like, okay, so I've got typewriters, I've got movie projectors, I've got just all this insane stuff. And I love it. It's just, I go home and I'm just so, it's like you can walk through my house and it's the story of my life. And it feels so wonderful. So, none of this out with the old stuff. Speaking of which, there's another thing. This is just for you, Kirk. I was thinking about all these ideas that we have, and I came up with a few that maybe you hadn't thought of. So these I had to write down because I wouldn't think of them. There's simple ones like there's no business like show business, or just in the ta-da nick of time. How about either I'm eating too much or I'm pregnant or both? How's that? Does that sound good? Is that a bottle of Cialis in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? Here's one from the 1930s. You might like this. It must be jelly, because jam don't shake like that. Here's one from the Marx Brothers. 1930-something. It was, you got the brain of a 4-year-old child, and I bet he was glad to get rid of it. Here's some ones that are a little bit more current. Believe me, we'll build a wall around it. Maybe you've heard these before. I know people. You can look it up. Or say hello to my African-American friend. So that's the story of, we're not going to be out with the old. The old is wonderful. And I only have one other kind of little thing that has brought me through all this. And it's a good colloquialism for you, too. It's someday I think I might be able to use that.